August 29, 2016, 20-year-old Elijah Running Bear Diaz, who was known as Bear, was dropped home to his Joey Lay apartment in El Cajon, California, by his mum around 10:30 p.m. The next day, Bear was nowhere to be found, and there were missing items from his bedroom that raised some concerns. Hello everybody, welcome to New Zealand Mysteries, the international series. And today we're looking at a case of a missing person from California, and it's quite a well-known case in the community, I guess, if you look at true crime. But I am doing this in a different format today. I'm extremely nervous. I know that the quality of the webcam that comes with the computer is shit. I'm quite aware of that, but I can't afford to get a new one just right now, so I'll get a better webcam soon. Please just bear with me. Like I said, this is new for me. I'm nervous, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So let's get into it. Elijah Bear was born on 19th of August 1995 to parents Steve and Leilani. He has an older sister, Miranda, and a younger brother, Stephen. Unfortunately, they did not make it, the marriage, and they split up. Leilani took the children and moved from their home in Riverside County, California, and back to the reservation where she grew up in San Diego County, the Barona Reservation. Bear belonged to the Barona tribe, I should say. So let's take a quick look at this tribe, and I'm quite interested because I haven't done a lot around Native Americans. So let's have a look. So here we are at Barona-NSN.gov. Let's take a look. With a long and storied history, the Barona Band of Mission Indians is always eager to share their culture and heritage, and is proud to welcome you to their land and the magnificent Barona Valley Ranch, Resort and Casino. Established in 1932, the Barona Indian Reservation is home to this regal tribe, which is recognized by the United States government as a sovereign nation and is governed by an elected tribal council. So really interesting, I wasn't aware that they work as sovereign nations. A strong and supportive community, the Barona tribe is proud of its independence and self-reliance. The reservation features its own museum, school, fire station, gas station, church museum, and community center. Tied together architecturally with the theme of a 1930s ranch intended to honor the founders of the Barona Indian Reservation. The Barona Valley Ranch Resort and Casino attests to the vision, conviction, and determination of the Barona Band of Mission Indians. Gosh, this the display is terrible and really hard to read, and I'm so sorry guys. I have so much problems with computers and trying to get things right, and the software. Let's keep going. In the tribe's continual efforts to preserve their culture, the reservation is also home to the Barona Cultural Center and Museum, a unique hands-on educational museum. Displays of handmade pottery, reed baskets, paintings, arrowheads, and other artifacts, over 2,000 in all, date back thousands of years and bring life to the rich culture and history of San Diego's Native American community. So I really implore you, if you live in this county or around San Diego, go and take a look in here. This is really interesting. I wish this would get off because I don't know what that is. If we go and have a look at the map, and we have the map of San Diego right here, the big town, and the reservation is out here. So, beautiful picture. It is a wee way from town for sure. When Bear was just 8 years old, his mum Leilani remarried to her husband Donald. Donald had five children of his own, and his son Jacob was extremely close with Bear. Sadly, trigger warning here, Jacob took his own life less than 1 year before Bear went missing, and Bear was badly affected by this tragic loss. And we all know the tragic loss of a loved one. It must have been really awful. At the age of just 6 years old, Leilani noticed that Bear became lethargic and tired. He began having frequent fevers, headaches, and then began vomiting. She was really, really worried. So she took him to the doctor or the emergency room, and Bear was actually critical. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Now, his blood sugar range was off the charts. It was in like the 800s, and it should be down like to in the early hundreds. His was 800, and they reckoned that they were surprised. He wasn't even in a coma because it was so bad. Bear now, of course, would have to test his blood and inject insulin 3 times a day. Bear would have to spend the rest of his life battling diabetes. There is no cure, sadly. It was really tough for him growing up with this chronic illness, as you can imagine. He liked to play with the children, but there were some days that he just couldn't play with his peers, especially if he had to go in also and get his injections. Some days were okay. It was really, really tough. This naturally took its toll on Bear, not physically, or just physically, but mentally as well, as you can imagine. So, not surprisingly, growing up, Bear started to struggle with depression. He spent a lot of time in and out of hospital growing up, which was hard for him to keep up with his schooling as well. He spent so much time off school. His mum just really told him, you know, provided you at least got a GED, then she was happy. Growing up, Bear wanted to help any of his mates out, and there were always teenagers in the house and crashing on the couch if they needed to. It's like Bear, once you were his friend, you were treated so good, and he would treat you really well, and he's really, really loyal. And he makes friends very, very easily. He just really liked to help and support those that he called his friends. Bear began to have other symptoms that came along with having diabetes. He had cataracts in his eyes. He couldn't see that well. He had glasses. But the biggest thing for Bear was the damage to his feet. And if you are a type 1 diabetes sufferer or you know of somebody, the feet really need to be looked after. Bear suffered from neuropathy, which causes sores and blisters on your feet. And at the age of 17, Bear spent around 5 months in hospital. And his feet were in such bad shape. On one of the articles that I read, it said that it was close to being cut off. I can't remember. Amputated, that's the word. Amputated. Thank goodness it didn't. At the time of Bear's disappearance, though, his feet were in such bad shape that he could hardly walk, and he had to use either a wheelchair or crutches to get around. Bear and his mum had a really close relationship. Like, it felt like not just son and mum, they were really each other's best mates in a way. And some people I've heard, you know, say it's not right for a mum to be best friends with a young adult, but me and my kid, my son, are best mates, and he's 22, and I'm not telling you how old I am, but yeah, it happens. We're really, really close. When Bear turned 20, he wanted some independence, which you can understand. He wanted to move into town to be close to his friends and other places, as the reservation was quite far out of town. Luckily for Bear, the reservation had a casino on it, as we know, and every month tribe members would receive money from this. Never even knew that. That's cool. While Bear was growing up, his was put into a trust which he could access when he turned 18. This meant that Bear was able to cash up for a house, pay it with cash in town, and he moved into the 700 block of Joey Avenue in El Cajon, San Diego. And he was able to deck it out with TVs, furniture, gaming consoles, and Bear also bought himself a couple of sweet cars as well. Unfortunately, at the time, he couldn't drive them because of his feet, but he did have them. Now, I mentioned that Bear and his mum, Leilani, were close. She spent hours with Bear every day, like 5 hours. She would dress his feet, she would take him to all his medical appointments, take him for drives in the car to get him out of the house. And when they weren't together, they would ring each other, like I said. And Bear would ring his mum just to say, "I'm okay, mum, you know, don't worry about me," type of thing. Once Bear was in his new apartment, he started to go and hang out in a hooker lounge and meet lots of new people. And we've spoke before about be it meeting someone and they immediately become his friend. If you talk to Bear, you were immediately a friend of his. Bear had a couple of full-time flatmates in the end that he had met at the Hooker Lounge, and every day Bear's apartment would be full of people hanging out or sleeping over, mostly coming from the Hooker Lounge. Some people stayed for days at a time. Bear liked to look after his mates, and they benefited from the perks of Bear having that money from the casino. Sadly though, Bear's health had been declining. As I said, he had these problems with his feet. He was getting around on crutches, on a wheelchair, and some days he could barely walk, or some days he couldn't even get out of bed. Now, Bear was 5'9" and weighed only 100 pounds, and that's 45 kilos, and that is extremely tiny. He was very thin and very weak. He couldn't even drive the cars, like I said. Some days couldn't get out of bed, like I said. Leilani essentially became his caregiver. All this led to Bear suffering more and more with depression. On that Saturday that Bear went missing, his family had to attend a funeral. Bear wasn't up to going to the funeral, but afterwards Leilani rang Bear and said she'd come and pick him up. Bear didn't last long though. He became quite agitated as there were kids playing who were making a lot of noise, and it just wasn't for him. But it was too much, and Leilani took him back home. During the car ride, however, and when they arrived at Bear's house, they argued. Leilani tried to tell Bear that he had a lot to look forward to. She suggested he go back to school. It would give him something to do and he could make new friends. But Bear was having none of it. He told Leilani that she didn't know what it was like, and he tried to really stress the fact that she just didn't understand what he was going through. Because Bear was really agitated, Leilani left to let Bear cool down a bit. She left around 10:30 p.m. At 11:15 p.m. Leilani received a text from Bear telling her that he loved her. This sadly is the last text she would ever receive from Bear. The next day, August the 30th, Leilani texts Bear several times asking various things, such as what he wanted to eat for lunch, what he was doing, etc. But she did not receive an answer, and she became concerned. So she drove over to Bear's house to check on him at approximately 4 p.m. on that day. Upon entering Bear's house, she bumped into one of his full-time flatmates. The flatmate stated that Bear had his door closed, so he presumed Bear was asleep or watching TV. But when Leilani entered Bear's bedroom, Bear was gone, and so were a few other things. His 50-inch TV was missing. His bed was stripped. His comforter, which is a duvet in New Zealand and a doona in Australia, was missing, as were his sheets, and the blankets and pillows were on the floor. Bear had a safe in his room in which he kept about $7,000 in cash. The safe was open and the money was missing. This was really worrying. Also missing was Bear's crutches and phone and a backpack. And in that backpack, Bear kept a week or two's worth of insulin inside. Some things were left behind. Worryingly, his phone charger, toothbrush, and more worryingly, his glasses. We know that due to the bad cataracts from diabetes, he was nearly blind and he needed his glasses. She asked Bear's roommate, did you hear him leave? You know, do you know where Bear could be? But the flatmate, like, was just as confused. He said he'd come home around 2:30 a.m, just a few hours after she dropped Bear off. There was no forced entry and Bear's door had remained closed the entire time the flatmate had been home. So whatever happened to Bear, we can assume that it happened between 10:30 p.m. when, or 11:15 p.m. when he texted his mum, Leilani, and 2:30 a.m. when the flatmate came home. So really just a few hours. So we know Bear couldn't drive at this stage. His cars were there. He could barely even walk, so someone had to have picked Bear up. But why was his bed stripped? Why would Bear take his 50-inch TV? I mean, it's not like he didn't have money to buy a new one. It seems like it's not exactly an easy item to carry. He couldn't have carried it, that's for sure. It just didn't make sense. Leilani called and texted Bear multiple times, but there was just no answer. Leilani told herself to take a breath, not to panic. She thought maybe he'd gone to a friend's house for a while to get away, but some things didn't add up. I mean, Leilani knew that he had a couple of health appointments the following day, and he would never miss his health appointments. So the next day she went to where these appointments were and waited outside, but nah, Bear never showed up. That's when Leilani started to panic. This is when Leilani contacted the police to file a missing persons report. Now, unfortunately, as we know in a lot of cases, the police didn't take it seriously. They told her that he was a young man with money, he was allowed to go missing and not tell anyone, and 90% of people missing turn up. The report had been filed at this stage, but there was no follow-up with the police. Bear had left on previous occasions for a week or two, but always kept in touch with his mum. You know, his mum were real close, and always attended his health appointments. This was different. Leilani knew that Bear had a couple of weeks worth of insulin in his backpack, so he would have to come back to get more. The following weekend, which was like a week later, there was a powwow at the reservation. Now, this is something that Bear and his family absolutely loved, and Leilani knew that Bear would never miss it for the world. So for those who don't know, from Wikipedia, it states that a powwow is a gathering with dances held by many Native American and First Nation communities. Powwows today allow Indigenous people to socialize, dance, sing, and honor their cultures. Powwows may be private or public, indoors or outdoors. Dancing events can be competitive with monetary prizes. Powwows vary in length from single day to week-long events. That would be something that I would really, really enjoy watching if I got an opportunity. So Leilani again was trying to contact all of Bear's friends, you know, to ask if they know what happened, if they know where he is, who he's with. But that actually proved to be difficult because so many people were in and out of Bear's house, and she didn't even know who half of them were. In fact, I don't even know if Bear knew much about them or who they were. She didn't know how to contact them. Bear had so many people in and out from the hooker lounge. Bear threw parties all the time. It was almost like his house had like a revolving door. And, you know, we said he's just so nice. Once you meet him, you become friends. And then, yeah, you're friends. Anyone that needed to crash at Bear's was able to. Essentially, he needed a caregiver at this time because his health was so bad. But there's no one came forward with any information. No one said they knew where he'd gone or they knew who he was with or anything. So Leilani did go to the powwow and she looked everywhere for Bear. She passed out flyers, she talked to heaps of people, but he never showed up. Leilani definitely knew now that something was really, really wrong. It didn't seem like Bear was just off with his mates getting some time out. Something else has happened to Bear. She knew it. So as of this point, it was a week that had gone by and Bear was still missing. He had not contacted anyone. He missed his health appointments, which of course he never does. He was not at the powwow, and he also had not picked up his monthly check from the casino. And I imagine any 20-year-old knows that they've got money, and they've said it's between like $8,000 and $10,000 a month. You'd want that money, would you not? I know I would. So it's weird and odd that he didn't turn up to get that, at least. So the police were contacted again. Now, a couple of articles that I read, it wasn't Leilani that contacted the police again, because the first time they'd really dismissed her, so it was somebody else that rang the police. And I don't know why it took someone else, not the mother that knows her child inside and out, and she wasn't listened to, and someone else. I don't even know, but we won't go there. I don't know why. But this time, the police actually went and took a look at Bear's house, finally. They sprayed luminol in Bear's room, but no blood showed up, thank goodness. Something good. But they did note the bed stripped, the open safe with thousands of dollars missing. They noted the missing TV. They knew that because of Bear's health, he could not have carried a huge TV. The police believed that Bear left with someone he knew. It was no use them looking for fingerprints because, like I said, this house was a revolving door of people, so there would be way too many fingerprints. So the police got hold of Bear's phone and bank records. Bear's bank account and social media had not been active or touched. They found out, though, strangely, Bear's phone pinged at about 1:29 a.m. at the Barona reservation at the casino, which strikes me as a little odd. Then just 29 minutes later, his phone pinged in Santa Isabel, which is a small town near San Diego Mountains, which we'll look at in a minute. There wasn't much in this area. It was very rural. The mountains were very rugged and it was full of wild animals. There is no way Bear could have climbed these mountains, or he could barely walk. Bear's phone was turned off on August the 30th, 2015, just the day after he went missing. So if we have a quick look here on this map that you can't see, so let me give you a moment to do that. Again, I apologise how hard it is to see. I'm working on it, guys, I'm working on it. Yeah, it's so frustrating. So at the bottom here, we have 700 Joey Avenue. So this is where his home was in San Diego on the outskirts. Here's Barona Resort and Casino, so that's about an hour. And then we have where the phone pinged in Santa Isabel. Now, if I put the layers on here, you can really see, if we go in, there's not a lot around here. These rugged mountains, they are rugged. Bear's not going to be able to get up there. Someone got rid of the phone, they must have. So very, very sad. But let's continue. In the mountains, there wasn't much in this area. It was very rural. I think I've said that. The police searched a 1 mile radius around where his phone pinged, but there was never no sign of Bear or anyone else for that matter in those mountains and around that area. So unfortunately, the case has stalled at that time. There was not really a lot to go on, but Leilani never given up. She's never given up searching for Bear. Actually, the day after Bear went missing, another 20-year-old, Skylar Peterson Tosik, went missing as well. His mum seen Bear's story and contacted Leilani, and they compared the cases. It seemed like there were lots of similarities between the cases, but police said that they were not related. It's good, though, that both mothers found a sort of comfort, hopefully, in each other's heartache. I think that's a really nice thing to come out of it. On October 17th, 2015, an unidentified body was found at Lake Hodges. Both ladies' mums were obviously anxious to see if this was one of their boys. The lake is between El Cajon and El Escondido, where Skylar is from, but sadly the remains ended up being those of a female. Leilani was legally allowed to ask the roommates to leave, and she made the house her search headquarters. So there is currently a $50,000 reward for info about what happened to Bear. In 2016, a billboard about his case was displayed in Lakeside on southbound State Route 67 at Mapleview Street. A banner reading "Bring Bear Home" was also on display outside Diaz's home. At one point, Bear's family, friends, and even volunteers went door to door in El Cajon, trying to remind the public that he was still missing. The man, that also family, hired a private investigator, and they said the case was highly suspicious. In April 2017, Diaz's case, I can't talk, received national attention when it was profiled on the TV series Disappeared. Now, Disappeared is one of my favourite programs. I really like it. Today, a website, Bring Bear Home, continues to try and spread the word, which is going to be in the description box below. In the description box, I'll have ways you can check us out, links to our Facebook page, there's links on how to donate, always appreciated, never expected. I'll have the website for Bring Beer Home as well, and of all the sources that I've used. Motive. I don't know what you guys think, and I'd like to hear it in the comments what you think, but I think it was about money. The bear didn't hide the fact that he had money. He was shelling out money all the time wherever he was going. People could see that he had money. The safe was gone. No, it wasn't. The money in the safe was gone. The TV was gone. A lot of things about money, you know, to sell. A lot of people knew Bear had money. So that's what I believe happened. And I believe it will be one of those people that had been in the house and crashed at the house that Bear didn't know a lot about, to be honest. Thought they were his friends. So let me know in the comments below. If you have any information on what happened to Bear or Skylar Peterson Tosick, please contact the El Cajon Police Department on 619-579-3311 or San Diego County Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477. I'll put that below. Let me know what you think of my new format of talking a hell of a lot on this and seeing my face. It's quite new for me. And yeah, quite a new way of doing things. No, it's not good. I know the quality is not good, but I really wanted to get this out there because I've been working on it for days. So yeah, let me know in the comments below. Thanks for hanging out with me today and listening to Bear Story. Don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe. Hit the notification bell to all so you know when I am popping on new videos. Thanks guys for being here with me. It's awesome. I appreciate you guys like you would never believe. Thank you so much.